Hallelujah. If you got any guests here today, I know this time of year we see people visiting churches and guests. We've been seeing it every Sunday. That's just what God's doing here. We want to say welcome. Thank you for being here. I was able to meet our Growth Track, some folks that came to Growth Track this morning, which is an on-ramp to our church membership and to know more about our services and our church. It's the second Sunday of every month. It's full of people in there. God bless you guys. I told you thank you for coming early. And I know finding a home church is a struggle. And this might be your first service here. And you're like, wow, what's going on, man? My prayer is that you just encounter the presence of the Lord, because that's better than any church or organization on the planet. That's why we're here, is to have what we just experience as an encounter with God. And even if you come out of a religious background, it's kind of a hard to transition over. Well, we'll teach you and show you here. Amen. You'll get used to it. Amen. And it's done in order. You ain't going to see no snakes coming out of the back room. Amen. I'm just going to tell you that now. People visit churches and sometimes they don't know what. So I got to let you know. We don't do that. We let the Holy Spirit move, though. And you're going to see healings and testimonies and restoration's happening. And amen. And it's so awesome. This is Palm Sunday, as I said. We all know it. This is the beginning of what's called Passion Week, Holy Week. It's Passion Week because Jesus shows his passion for us all week long this week, starting today. His last week on earth as his earthly ministry. Wednesday night at 7 in the chapel, I'll be teaching on the 7 days that change history. But today I want to focus in on the riding in of Jesus, but the response that the people had to Jesus. And we still have people respond in the same way, and it's unfortunate, and I want to try to help us today to overcome some of these obstacles and barriers, because God wants all of his children to be blessed, all of his children to be filled with him and to be used by him and to experience his goodness, just like you want the best for your kids. So Jesus is riding in on a donkey here in Luke 19, and he fulfills prophecy, and they're taking palm branches, hence the name Palm Sunday, and they are waving them at Jesus. They're putting their jackets down or their garments down, and then he gets, with all of that commotion going on, all that excitement, you thought this was love. By the way, when the Pharisees, the religious leaders, saw people acting like we were just acting, they said, Jesus, tell them to quiet down. They did. So, that's what Jesus said. So here's the debate. Does God like us to be loud and expressive in worship, or does he like us to be quiet? And here's the answer is right here in this text. The Pharisee says, Jesus, tell your disciples to calm down. And Jesus said, I will not tell them to calm down. For if I tell them to be silent, my heavenly Father will cause praises to come out of these rocks and out of these trees. So I think God is okay with us being expressive. Now, you don't have to be as expressive as me, but we just pray and ask that it's okay to give yourself permission to give God some praise and be expressive. Amen. It's a third sermon, and I haven't even got into today. How about that? But here's my text for this morning. In all of the excitement, Jesus is in verse 41, says, now as Jesus drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it. People are shouting. People are, yeah, walls coming down. Jesus is on that donkey, and you've probably never seen this before. As he approached the city, he's weeping. I want you to see that. You've probably never seen this in an Easter play. Tears were coming down the Messiah's cheeks as he drew near the city. And he says, if you had known, even you, because God specifically sent prophets to you, especially this in your day. This is your moment. I'm here. This is your moment that will give you what you've been looking for, peace. You've been searching for what you can find in me, but now they're hidden from your eyes. You're going to miss it, for the days will come. And then he actually talks about judgment. Verse 44, and they will level you and your children with you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone. That's why he's weeping. Why? Because you did not know the time of your visitation. You failed to recognize that it was the Messiah really doing something. He went from tears to verse 43. Then he went into the temple, and And he began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. I think he's looking and saying, this is why the people are missing me, because the religious leaders are missing me. Then he began to teach daily in the temple. He began to set things right. And the chief priests and the scribes, they wanted to destroy him, but they were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Father, we thank you for your word today. We ask your blessing upon our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give somebody a high five and say, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. And you can be seated today. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Amen. Pastor Steve was asked to lead our worship for our Refresh Conference up at Traverse City next February. So that's awesome. Awesome. Him and Lindsay and whoever else, that team will figure that out. But it's an awesome honor to do that. And God's been really stretching the influence of our church, guys. It's really been an amazing thing what God is doing in our community. And when God, Mom always says, Eddie, you need to tell the people. And I said, it sounds like I'm bragging. You need to tell them. So Mama said, I got to tell you. We miss Mom and Dad. Dad came to church Wednesday night. He snuck in here and he got a little too excited. So he told me yesterday he's going to have to calm down. So they're watching from home and praying for them. Amen. But the Lord's just really opening up doors. I was able to go Friday as the church, as the chaplain and go to the FBI luncheon. And I go to these things and they allow me to pray over the luncheons. And police chiefs and a lot of higher ups are there. And I want to shout out to our police chief, Jason Wright, and deputy chief Monty. They're doing a fantastic job leading this community, keeping us safe. And we was able to hear from retired Supreme Court Justice Viviano, and he shared and really talked about some new laws that are coming to Michigan and in favor of police and helping us. And it was just really, I really enjoyed that time and met the FBI's executive chaplain. One greater than I was there. Amen. And to hear him, and here's why I'm bragging on what God is doing. God is being welcomed in these arenas, church, and this is good news. This is good news for us, for the church worldwide. I was asked to pray over our firefighters last week, and it was an amazing thing. They did a controlled burn exercise over on Haggerty Road. I don't know if you caught it, but they burned two houses, four or five local fire departments there, and they asked me to pray over them. And how amazing was that, to pray God. And I always pray in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Amen. But think about that. It wasn't an imam. It wasn't someone over there praying. It was a Christian pastor, a spiritual leader praying in the name of Jesus in our community. So, yeah, can we celebrate that as brothers and sisters in Christ? I feel like we've already had church. Amen. But I think God's not done. I want to get right into this. Don't miss the Messiah. Matthew records what we just read, but Matthew adds this comment that Jesus also made, a little bit more detail. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he says in Matthew 23, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. You've rejected every messenger I've sent to you, and Jesus is weeping. Watch this. How often I wanted to gather you as children, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And then he speaks judgment again. That's just, why are people not willing to come to the Lord? That's what I was meditating on all week. You know, people are gonna pack in churches every Christmas and every Easter. We see it around the world, and I'm happy. And this is my prayer, as it is every year. Lord, when they gather this time, even if they come out of religious tradition, even because their mama or grandmother or wife or husband or somebody, their kid is in a play, whatever causes them to be in the house of God, my prayer is even here, Lord, don't let nobody miss the Messiah. Don't let nobody miss what God has for them, because you can miss it. Why do people miss it? Why some of us have children and family members that, man, they see us go to church every day or every week, and they still refuse to come to the Lord and surrender their hearts to him. Why is that? It's nothing. How many know God's ways are better than our ways? How many know it's all good? Amen? I don't know about you, but I love being a Christian. It's the greatest decision I have ever made in my life, is to say yes to Jesus. I had it all wrong, and here's why we miss it. You know, who would not want to go to heaven? Who would not want to be with Jesus? Jesus said, I want to be like a mother hen. That's protection. That's comfort. And he said, aren't you tired? And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, and listen, don't let him get lost in the religion, in the ceremonies, in the feast, in this time of year, in Lent and all this. Don't miss the Messiah, because it's easy to miss the Messiah even in the religious settings. And so that's what I looked through as I went through this Holy Week. There were actually three different groups of people that missed Jesus, missed the meaning of the Messiah. It was the crowd, the people, the regular, everyday, blue-collar, white-collar workers. It was the crowd that missed Jesus. Then the religious leaders missed Jesus. And even some in his inner circle missed Jesus, missed that moment. And so the Lord began to give me some things, and I want to get into it. Number one, the crowd missed the Messiah. They missed the Messiah because they overlooked the obvious. That's what I wrote down. Write that down. They overlooked the obvious. When they were looking for the Messiah to look one way, they had it in their mind, but he came a totally different way. Many times we do that. I know this may be more for men, as I was thinking about this, than for women, but guys, have you ever had your wife ask you to go to the pantry and get something for her? And 3 days later, you're still in there. My wife would say, honey, while you're up, will you go and hand me this out of the pantry? And I'll go in there and I'll look and I'll just stare at all these jars. She'll say, go get me a jar of this whatever, olive oil. We're into healthy oils, okay, you know. And so I'm getting older. We eat healthy, amen. And I love it. I love it. It's great. So she'll say, honey, go in there and get me that jar. And I'll go in there and 20 minutes later, what does it look like? She'll say, has a green lid. And I'll say, 20 minutes later, okay, when you say green, light green, dark green, and then every time she'll come right in there and it's right in front of my face. Come on, guys. Is anybody else like that? Oh, yeah, thank you. You're my people. Mom, I had this problem my whole life. My mama would say, Eddie, if that was a snake, it would have bit you. She's from the South. Amen. That's where it was. Or she'll say those famous words. It's late in the evening. You're trying to get home. My wife's cooking dinner. She cooks dinner almost every night. I thank God for her. I got an amazing wife. And she, amen. Because if I was cooking, we wouldn't be here today. Amen. But she'll send me that message. Eddie, will you swing by Kroger and pick this up? Who wants to go to Kroger at 7 o'clock? And we were eating healthy, and so she'll tell me what to do, and I can't find. I said, honey, if you want me to get a bag of Doritos, I got it. If you want me to get whatever's bad for us, I know I can blindfoldedly walk into that place. She's wanting me to get this mushroom growed in the Himalayas that's caught, wild cage caught, not whatever, organic, green, and this. And 30 minutes later, she starts sending pictures. And I'm walking around with a shopping cart like this. 30 minutes again, she'll send the aisle where it's located. Honey, just order it. They deliver to the house now. And I ain't asking nobody, amen. Because I can find it. I can go on and on. But here's the thing, as I was looking at, why do we do that? Why do I do that? Why do we do that? Here it is, the same reason why people miss Jesus. Because when my wife has asked us and asked me to do something or find something, and you're asked to find something, what you do is we picture it in our mind, what we think it looks like, right? And they heard the Messiah was coming. And some of you have got, when I say God wants to bless you, the presence of God wants to, you need to encounter his presence, and Jesus loves you and you need to live for him. And when I say these sayings and when you hear these sayings, we have an image in our mind, a picture in our mind as to what it is supposed to look like. And many times it is completely different than what God's idea and picture is for you and I. And it causes us to miss it, even though we're right in the vicinity, we're right in the area, we're right there, we're hearing it, we're right where they sell it, we're right where they are, but we are blind to what Jesus is saying and doing right in front of our face. So that's what was the problem with these guys. He came, he fulfilled the prophecies, he did the miracles, all the prophecies, like 300 prophecies he fulfilled. You know, the probability of that is amazing by itself, but he fulfilled all of these prophecies and they all missed it. They missed where he was born, they missed his ministry, his introduction, his healing, they missed it, his death and resurrection. They missed the whole thing. Why? Because they pictured in their mind the crowd, the people had been conditioned to believe that God works like this and that the Messiah would be like this and he would do like that. And it was a false image of who the Messiah really was. So when he came, even though he resembled some of it, they missed it because it wasn't exactly what they had pictured in their mind. Jesus emphasized love. He emphasized service and sacrifice. He spoke of denying the flesh and giving your heart to God. Everything's about the heart. Everything has always been about that. Even in the Old Testament, it's been about the heart, but they looked at the law and they just, it was easier to follow the system than it was to live by faith. Even the Israelites came out of years of slavery and they said, I would rather go back to slavery than to live every single day by faith. Think about that. Even though God was providing manna from heaven and great and amazing, extraordinary manifestations of his glory, they would rather get back because the new image that God was trying to show them was too scary and frightening for them to want to do it. And they were so comfortable, there's the word, comfortable in the religious systems and in the way that they had taught, were taught about God. Everything they'd known for generations were that way. But God says it's all about the heart. And we miss it, and people miss it, and the crowds will gather this Easter and this time of year into churches, and I pray don't let them miss it, but many of them will, because it's not about a religious system. It's a simple truth that God wants your heart. It's always been about the heart. It will always be about the heart. It is that simple. There's a scripture I love that Paul is writing to the Christian church, and he says in 2 Corinthians 11, watch this, he said, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds will be led astray from the simplicity that is in Christ. Just as Eve knew what God wanted her to do, she was tricked and deceived because it was so simple for God to say, God said, you can have all of these trees, you can have a blessed life, You can have breakthrough. You can have the best thing ever if you would just do it my way. That's it. Don't do this one thing. And it's too simple. So Eve was like, it's got to be harder than that. And so it made her get bored with the simplicity. And men, this is something we got to avoid, is being bored. What causes more problems in marriages is when husbands just get bored with life. You need to get challenged. That's part of my job, is to challenge the men here. Amen. Because we respond to challenge. When God created Adam and Eve, the first thing he did is he gave them a job. Gave them a challenge. I used to say this as a youth pastor. Fellas, if you want a wife or a girlfriend, get a job first. God gave Adam a job, then a woman. Amen. All the ladies said amen. Come on. By the way, with the old joke, Eve is the one that found the tree because Adam would still be looking for it today. But he says, this is powerful. Don't let the simplicity of Christ deceive you. You can have the blessings of God if you would just surrender your heart to him. That's it. Well, no, it's got to be more than that. No. I got to do this. I got to hop on one foot, you know, and I got to do all these different things, and we got to participate in Lent, and I'm not picking on Catholics or Lutherans or any of that, but we believe, you can get an ash on your head and eat fish every Friday, but listen to me, that doesn't make you and I a Christian. And this is just for the crowd right here. We're going to go a little deeper here in a minute, but this is for those that think that that's the way of salvation, because it's too simple to believe that Jesus is the Messiah and to give him my heart. So we think we got to do these religious ceremonies, go to a church and confess our sins to a man. which, by the way, no man has the power on earth to forgive us of sins. Come on, I got to be truthful with you. The Bible says in the last days, there'll be deceiving doctrines of men that will deceive the masses of people. And that's one of them, thinking that, and here's the thing, the religious crowd or the crowd were accustomed to believe that as long as you attended the feast, such as the Passover, where Jesus came, and you attended the feast and you offered up a sacrifice, here it is, they thought, they were conditioned to believe when they leave to go back to their hometown and live the same way they did before they came. And this is the same problem we have with people today. And that's not what God wants. He's always wanted the heart. He's always wanted the heart of man so that when you come to the church and when you come to the festivals and when you come on Sundays, you worship the God of heaven who you've been living for all week long. Don't miss the Messiah because you participate in this category or this, or you've been coming to River of Life. You can come here every Sunday and know the songs and know the worship team and know people, and it's awesome. I love what we're doing here. Yesterday at the coffee and tea flight, we were playing bingo. Amen. I wasn't here. Pastor Steve hosted it, though, did a great job. And they love fellowship. We love to hang out. We love to do that. So if you like bingo and you didn't come, you missed it. Amen. B7. I don't even know how to play bingo, I'll be honest with you, but it sounded fun. But we can do all of that. Here's the point, and it's so simple that we miss this hallmark scripture. Watch it on the screen so you know I'm not making stuff up. The Bible says, so by grace, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of your works, lest any man should boast. Do you see that today? I know it's simple, but people get deceived over the simplicity of the gospel message. The only thing, God don't want your money. He don't want your time. He don't want your car. He don't want your job. He wants one thing, and it's your heart. He's always wanted it, and he wants it now. And he deserves it. Why? Because he paid the best price for it. He gave his only son. Muhammad didn't die for your sins. Buddha didn't die for your sins. New Age didn't die for your sins. The Catholic Church didn't die for your sins. Pastor Eddie didn't die for your church, your sins. There's only one person that died for your sins and rose again on the third day. And his name is Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, the one and only Son of the living God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the one that's coming back for you and me. Come on, if you believe in giving praise on this Palm Sunday. Woo. Gospel message is simple. Put your faith in Jesus. Turn from those sins and put your heart and life in Jesus Christ. That's it. You're either saved or not saved. Guys, I'm going to move on, but it's so simple. You can't be kind of saved no more than you can be kind of pregnant. You either are or you're not. I will say this, early on, it's hard to tell that you're carrying a baby. And some believers are babies, and it's hard to tell sometimes because of lack of worship or lack of whatever. But I'm just telling you something, stay in the environment. As the baby stays in the mother's womb, the baby's going to grow. If the baby is fed, oh, it's more spiritual than I thought. Amen. Stay in an environment, right, Aaron? This man here came into this church just a couple years ago, gave his heart to the Lord and surrendered his life to Jesus. And now him and his whole family are serving, guys. Up here serving in River Kids, serving here. Why? Because you get into the environment and the anointing is caught. It's not taught. You got to get into the environment. Sometimes you got to get in the environment where the anointing is, and it helps you respond. It's like when you go to the gym, you got to get in the environment. This one pastor said it at this Pastor's Connect, so it's not me, so don't get mad, but this is what he said. He said, "If you what do you call people that's got a home gym? Fat." He said, "I'm fat. I got a home gym." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because it gets boring lifting weights in your basement. But when you get in the environment where you got the guys over there, roar, and you got the ladies running on the treadmill or the guy, whatever, you get in the environment and it causes something for you to happen to want to work out." Amen. Is that a good analogy? I don't know. Amen. But it's the same way spiritually. You get into an environment where the gospel's being preached, the anointing, and people are worshiping, and watch this, your hands automatically go up. Thank you, Jesus. Got to keep going. That's the crowd. The religious people also had a problem that caused them to miss the Messiah. Now, come on, I'm going to talk about the church people now. And they created obstacles to their worship. This is where Jesus goes right into the church. The first place he went was into the church. That blows my mind. He didn't go to Herod. He didn't go to Pilate. We always think if the government gets their act together, hallelujah. Let me tell you what the Bible says. If the church would get their act together. How many know revivals needs to start in the church? It starts in the heart of the individual. Who was that? One of the great Puritans says, you want revival, draw you a circle. Get into that circle and say, God, don't let me get out of this circle until you send revival. And then that revival will catch on to your family. Amen. Bless you. But they created obstacles. Jesus came in. By the way, people think he came into the church like a sanctuary and he started flipping over tables. That's not accurate. He came into the Gentile court. This was a specific space that was set up outside of the holy place, but God intended for the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, to have a place to connect with God. Your Europeans, your Asians, your Africans, your people that were non-Jews were able to gather. Why? Because God is a God of all people. Did you catch that? God is a God of all people. And the Jewish people, they didn't want to worship with people that looked different than them. They didn't want to go to a church where the pastor looks like that or acts like that or they sing that kind of song. We all have our little quirks that we like. We all have them. Amen. Just look straight this way. Amen. We all have them. They're traditions. I've said it before. Every song we sing may not be my favorite. Today was every song. I was like, woo, it's better and better. Amen. I may walk in here and, you know, some of y'all get on my nerve. I love you, but you just do. I get on some of your nerve. Amen. I don't know. I'm just saying it. Welcome to our church. Look what he says. He says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate the wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not. And you found them to be false. You've persevered. Watch this. And you have endured hardships for my name. And you've not grown weary. Whoa, that's an amazing church. That would be on the poster of every church growth statistics conference you can go to. But I hold this against you. Watch this. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Now consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do those things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'll come near to you and I will remove those tables for you. Hebrews, the Bible tells us that God disciplines his children. He chastens our children. So we either need to remove those tables. If you really belong to God, and if you don't remove those tables, the Bible says he will remove them for us. Why? Because he's a jealous God wanting us to be in covenant with him and him and only. Because he knows the consequences of us walking away from him. It is quiet in this Baptist church. So God needs to flip some tables over on Palm Sunday. We need to let him flip some tables up. Because by the way, Jesus, many theologians believe he did this twice in the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry. Why? Because we have a tendency to come to church, remove tables, and a few months later, put those things right back up. Preach, Pastor Eddie, I'm trying. So the Lord is saying we need to remove those tables. Hallelujah. Maybe it's a table. Oh, I could go all day on this one message on tables. It could be a table of self-reliance. Well, we're too proud. It's something we all battle with, but we're too proud to come to the Lord and depend on him. It's a table of self-reliance, a table of compromise. You go through those churches in Revelations and you can see the different tables and things that got in the way of their worship. Listen, church, we got to make sure we leave that area, that space. And here's the application to this. As we remove the tables and the obstacles to our worship, whatever's creating an obstacle for you not to have daily communion with the Lord is an obstacle. It could be 10 minutes, it can be an hour, depending on you. It don't matter. But if you're not getting in and spending regular time with the Lord, there's a table there. There's an obstacle. It's not God's will for you and I to live like that. He wants to commune with us. He wants us to talk with him, to invite him in our situation, not just on church, but every day of our life is to invite him into our daily living. That is God's will for our life. And Jesus came in there and saw that they weren't doing it. He began to flip tables over. Worship team, won't you come? I'm starting to land the plane right now. If you're new here, that means nothing. Amen. No, I'm kidding. I know. Amen. But as we remove the obstacles, we create a space for deeper and more intimate connection with God, which will be characterized by joy and peace. So if you hear today, say, I want that joy, Pastor Eddie. Remember when David sinned in Psalm 51? He sinned. He messed up. I love Psalm 51. It says that he says to the Lord, Lord, restore, watch this, restore the joy of my salvation. And then I'll tell sinners about you. Hey, you need that joy of salvation again? We can lose it. You can lose that joy. This church did. And he said, because you've lost your first love. Let me tell you something. During this week of Passion Week, every day read the end of the Gospels. It's in all four. I pray you do maybe every day. You come Wednesday night, I'm going to break it down every day of what Jesus did this week. Don't let this be a religious holiday that, you know, Lutherans, Catholics, or whatever. No, no, this is for all. This is Jesus died for all of us. And we need to remember what he did this week. Take communion every day. Fast, whatever. I'm not going to put a legalistical thing on you. But whatever you got to do, man, move the tables out of the way. And the last obstacle was from his inner circle. And I don't really got time to unpack this, but this is deep. This is a message all by itself. But this also can cause us church people, the inner circle, Judas and the other 11, to miss him. Why? Watch this. They chose offense over obedience. They got offended because God did something different than what they thought. The picture in their mind, since they are a part of the inner circle, man, they should have never had a hard time. Judas really got hung up on this, but it was more than that. Judas had a money problem too. Because when the woman broke the alabaster jar on Jesus' feet, go back and read it. The Bible says Judas is one that spoke up. And the night when Jesus taught on being a servant, Judas says, I'm out. And the scariest scripture is in the Bible. It says, and at that moment, Satan entered Judas. Did you hear me? That moment at the table, eating bread with the Messiah, he missed it so bad that Satan, evil, the source of wicked, entered that man. Whew. I almost named this message so close, but so far. Because he got offended. Here it is, because Jesus did not focus on the political landscape. He focused on the spiritual condition of all people. Jesus never came to set just the Jewish people free from Rome. He came to die for all people to be free from sin. And Judas had a problem with that. He didn't want the Gentiles and the Romans too, the oppressors, to be in the kingdom. No, 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 no. Do you know what they've done to us? Offense. And they got offended at God. He even told them, you're all going to be stumbled because of me. And watch this, in Matthew he said, and blessed is the one who is not offended in me. Listen, God is going to do something. He does things. Life sometimes happens, and sometimes things happen to us that's in his inner circle. Really, you're reading your word. You love Jesus. No one's perfect, but man, you love Jesus. You love being a Christian. You come here, you serve, you love God. And you're still going to go through some things. And we're not going to understand why it is. And it has a tendency for you and I to get offended at God. I listened to this podcast. I'm closing again. Here it is. I listened to this podcast from Pastor Levi Lusco. I don't know if you know him. He's a phenomenal pastor. Him and his wife, they lost their 5-year-old daughter 2 days before Christmas. And he's on this podcast and they're talking about it. I was at the gym and I'm just sitting on a machine being that guy on my phone and not working out and crying. So people thought, stay away from that dude. But I'm listening to this precious couple walk through the most tragic from an asthma attack, this little precious 5-year-old girl. And they don't say she died. They say she went to be with Jesus. And I listened to them unpack that tragedy that they walked through. And I'll never forget what he says. And the Carrie Newhoff was the guy. He says, how did you make it? It was 2 days before Christmas, and Levi, the pastor, preached the Christmas sermon. I said, I can't. That would not be me. And he said, Now, since then, they got counseling. They wrote a book. It's an amazing story. I wish I had time to unpack it. If you're wanting to know more about it, his story, it's called Facing the Lion by Levi Lusco. Facing the Lion by Levi Lusco. Maybe you know someone that's went through a tragedy like that. That book is really life-changing. But this is what he said, and this is how I'm closing with it. He said, you have two paths to go down when that happens. You go down this way of being offended at God. Why did this happen? I didn't expect it. And you go down a road and it leads to bitterness, isolation, and destruction and pain. He said the other option is to face the lion, run toward the roar, run toward the fear, run toward the pain, and believe what you've been reading all this time, that God is really with you. And he says, I didn't have the strength, but I did it anyway, and God supernaturally brought us through that. And he said, I wanted to make sure the devil didn't get into our marriage, because he almost got into our marriage, our ministry, and everything. He said, but I made that switch at that time. Here it is, not to get offended at God. And I want to leave you what Jesus said in the context of him being crucified and going and being arrested by the Romans. And this is for all of us. He says, what I am doing now, you do not understand, but you will know after this. That's a life verse that I've learned to lock and load in my mind when I'm in the hospital praying for children and families that's lost children or devastation or accidents or a death fatality call. I got called on as a chaplain and been on 3 of them this year. And you go knocking on the door and there you are to help with the family and they fall in your arms and it's devastating. And I don't have the answers to everything. I can't tell you this is why. And that's why Jesus said to them, listen, you don't understand right now what you're going through, but you will. Just please don't get offended at God. Ask him for grace and mercy, and he will give you the peace that surpasseth all understanding and allow you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, because he is with you. Will you stand to your feet today? So I don't know which 3 of these today. I had 3 of them kind of laid out for you, that 3 different groups of people missed their miracle. I don't know where you are in that message and how you want to respond. I know we done had church, we done prayed, and hey, well, this is what we do. But I want to give you a chance to get prayer today. We always end the service by allowing letting people come up and get prayer if you're going to go see a doctor or whatever. But before anybody comes, I want to know, maybe there's somebody here that you're in that first group, you're the crowd, and you know, you have a picture of your mind of what it looks like to follow Jesus. I know I did. That's what kept me from following Jesus. I thought, man, my life would be over if I become a Christian. I can't have fun. I got to give this up. That's what I actually thought in my life. But God has a funny way of turning the heat up so bad. You're like, anything's better than this, Lord. And my prayer was on November 5th, 1997, I got up saved in a context like this message I'm telling you. I said this, God, I don't know if I can live for you. I don't know if I can serve you. I don't know if I can do this Christian thing. But man, I'm tired of living this life without you. And so I'm gonna be like that chick and let you come under your wing. I didn't say that, but I said, God, I'm gonna give you my whole life today, my heart. I'll just be honest with you. I had warrants for my arrest. I had a terrible driving record. I'm gonna write a book, From Criminal to Chaplain. How many think that would be good? Amen. If I ever slow down to do it, because this story has changed so many people's lives, but it's the story that we all have got a piece of it. We all can pass this microphone and tell stories like that. And maybe you're here and you're like, man, I've been close. I've had some of these things, but I've never really had that change, that joy. but I want it today. Well, here's what you got to do. It's simple. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Give him your heart. Just say, I give you my heart. Here, God. Maybe you did it before and you walked away and you got life happened and you got obstacles set up in the way and you know you should be. I don't know where you are in this message, but if you're here today and you say, I need to give Jesus my whole heart in my life and I'm ready to do it today. When I count to three, I want you to lift up your hand. Everyone's looking around. I ain't ashamed because we used to get all kind of craziness and we didn't care who was watching. If you're in this place and you want to give your heart to Jesus 100%, one, two, three, lift your hand up high. Amen. Look at the hands. Look at the hands. Look at the hands. God bless you. 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 Yeah. Amen. 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 How many got some tables set up in that space where God wants to connect with you, but you kind of put some tables up? Amen. Come on. No hands? Come on. Am I the only one? Yeah. I want you to apply this message. Don't just hear it. That's a nice Palm Sunday. I like his shoes. Say, Jesus, what tables do I need to flip over today? So this week, I'm going to experience that joy and that peace and that love. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to encounter you. Or maybe you're the third group here today. You've had some things happen to you, man. I know life stinks. Broken. This world is broken. Life is not fair. You heard a pastor say that? I'm saying life is not fair. How can you say that? It's not fair that Jesus went to the cross to die for me. But I choose not to get offended, and I somehow believe God's got a way of making a miracle out of all this mess. I'm just going to trust him and not get offended, if that's you. I'm just going to open the altars. We're going to sing one more song, and then you can go. Altar workers, why don't you come? But if you lifted your hand, especially for salvation, I want you to come up here and let us pray for you. Don't leave today without getting some prayer. If you need prayer in any one of those other areas, you know, get prayer today. These are Holy Spirit-filled altar workers that will pray for you. And I want you to come up. Rest of us, let's sing a little bit of one more song, and then we'll go. We'll cut you loose, okay? Amen. Come up and get prayer. Come up and get prayer to let us pray over you. I want to pray for some of you here. I want meet me up here if you need prayer in Jesus' name. Rest of you, just sing. Let's just put an exclamation point on the message today and just worship together. Those of you that are at home, you can respond the same way. We got a live host that will pray with you at home. Put your name in the chat and we will pray in Jesus' name. Rest of us, can we worship one more time? Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of his presence, his promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.